I neither am nor want to be an exceptional athlete, and I have no desire whatsoever to swim around Manhattan, bike across America, climb Mount Everest, bench press several hundred pounds, or pole vault over anything. Among the many tests of extreme strength or endurance I will never attempt is a full triathlon. Not me. But I am curious about demanding athletic challenges. So in October 2012, I eagerly accepted an invitation to travel to Hawaii to observe the legendary Ironman World Championship and attend the sports medicine conference that precedes the race. Paradoxically, this infamously grueling test of endurance takes place in the paradisiacal setting of Kona, Hawaii, a charming town largely dedicated to helping vacationers relax. In the days leading up to the race, everyone in Kona appears to be engaged solely in the pursuit of pleasure. People swim, snorkel, and surf on picturesque beaches, sip fruity cocktails while watching the sunset, and stroll through town eating ice cream and buying souvenirs and sports equipment. Some also party late into the night in the town's many bars and clubs. If you were looking for a tropical resort in which to relax and be hedonistic, you couldn't do better than Kona. Then on Saturday, at precisely 7 a.m., the race begins. As the morning sun paints the sky rose as it emerges from behind the blue silhouette of the volcano that looms above town, about 2,500 ultra-fit people dive off a pier into the Pacific for the race's first leg, a 2.4-mile swim across the bay and back. In case you were wondering, 2.4 miles is the equivalent of swimming 77 lengths of an Olympic-sized pool. Many of the triathletes look apprehensive as they wait for the starting gun, but their spirits are buoyed by a band of Hawaiian drummers, thousands of cheering spectators, and loud adrenaline-inducing music blaring from car-sized speakers. Once they start, there are so many swimmers churning the water it looks like a shark feeding frenzy. About an hour later, the lead triathletes make it back to land. As they emerge, dripping from the ocean, they rush into a tent, change into high-tech biking gear, including aerodynamic helmets, jump onto ultra-lightweight bikes that cost upwards of $10,000, and zoom out of sight for the next leg of the race, a 112-mile course across a lava desert. Because it takes the best riders about 4.5 hours to cover this distance, I stroll back to my hotel and savor a tropical breakfast, made all the more pleasant by exercise schadenfreude. Yes, I do think my eggs Benedict and coffee taste better as I think about those 2,000 fellow humans out there on the island under the blaring sun trying to bike more than 100 miles as fast as they can and still save enough energy to complete the final leg of their ordeal, a full-length marathon. Rested and refreshed, I return to the race center to watch the elite triathletes leap off their bikes, lace on running shoes, and then head off on foot to begin their 26.2-mile run along the coast. While the competitors trudge through their marathon in brutally hot and humid conditions, it was 90 degrees Fahrenheit, I enjoy a leisurely lunch and a brief nap. Shortly after 2 p.m., I amble back to watch the finish. One of the most exuberant scenes I have ever witnessed. As the first runners arrive back at the town's main street, they are funneled into a chute lined by screaming friends and fans, all whipped into a feverish state by loud, pulsating music. At the finish line, a booming voice greets each finisher, male and female, with the time-honored phrase, "You are an Iron Man," and the crowd goes wild. The elite athletes who finish about 8 hours after they started cross the line stony-faced, looking more like cyborgs than human. Later, as the amateurs arrive to complete their ordeal, we glimpse what their achievement means to them. Many weep for joy. Others kneel to kiss the ground. Some pound their chests and bellow thunderously. A few look dangerously ill and are rushed to the medical tent.